In today's gospel, Jesus has a very important message for his disciples and for us, and that message concerns our fear. So we might ask ourselves, even at this moment, what do we fear? What am I afraid of? Maybe our fear is very real and concrete at this moment in our life. Maybe we're facing the possibility of serious illness. Or maybe we or our loved one is facing terminal illness. Or maybe we're afraid of having a conflict with someone that we love. Or maybe we're afraid of being abandoned by someone. Maybe we're afraid that we won't find the right person to marry, or that our marriage will fall apart. We could fear underperforming at our workplace, losing our job, suffering financial loss. We can fear not being able to take care of our home anymore and needing to move into a smaller home or to go to the nursing home. So many things in our life that we can fear, and fear seems so natural to us, such a part of us. But today's message Jesus has for us is straightforward and bold. He says, "Be not afraid." So specifically in this gospel, Jesus says, fear no one, fear no person. And so what's he talking about specifically? He's talking about the one who would persecute or harm us because of our faith. So this persecution, first of all, can happen in the most extreme form, when one's own life is threatened because of the faith. Jesus says, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. And it's good for us to remember that even though this might not be the context in which we live now, persecution even up to death for being a Christian, this is certainly the story of the early church. And kind of interesting to think about how the gospel writer Matthew would have needed to choose which of the words that Jesus said that he would record in the gospel, because certainly Jesus said way more than is actually recorded in the gospel. So there had to be kind of a whittling down process. What are the words that we're going to include that he said? And very significant that Matthew included these particular words of Jesus. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Because the people to whom Matthew was writing this gospel were being actively persecuted by the faith in the Roman Empire. And probably by the time the gospel of Matthew was written, many of the disciples had already been killed. Certainly, Peter and Paul had both been killed in Rome. So this is the story of the life of the early Christians, the first audience for this gospel. They knew what it was like to be persecuted. They knew that their lives were in danger simply by being Christian. That was the way it was for nearly the first 300 years of Christianity. But isn't it interesting how even in the midst of sometimes brutal persecution and martyrdom, the faith only flourished and grew in that context of persecution? One of the early church fathers said, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of Christians. So in other words, the shedding of the blood of the martyrs didn't stop the church. It's what fertilized the church. It was the fertilizer by which the church grew. Why was that? Well, first of all, there's a spiritual power whenever we say yes to God. Why? Because we're all connected. St. Paul calls us the body of Christ. So when we're baptized, and we beautifully celebrated a baptism this morning here at St. Pius, when we're baptized, We enter into this communion that we have with one another through Jesus. And every time we say yes to God, the whole community benefits because we share a spiritual communion with one another. So all of those Christians saying yes to God in the most radical way by choosing to give their life, we're actually blessing the rest of the community. There is a spiritual enrichment that was going on. But also there was the witness factor as well. People would see the witness that those Christians were making, and they could see that they were actually living for something, and that they had hope and joy even as they were suffering. And that was attractive to people. A great example of this is actually a group of martyrs that the church celebrated a few weeks ago who suffered martyrdom not too long ago in the late 1800s in Uganda, in Africa. They're called the Ugandan Martyrs, St. Charles Lwanga and his companions. So in the 1800s, Christian missionaries had been working in Africa. The faith was slowly starting to take root. In this area of Uganda, it wasn't a country yet, but it was kind of a semi-kingdom that was being run at the time in the late 1800s by a really despotic and tyrannical king, young, 18 years old, King Mwanga. St. Charles, also a young man, was a page in the court of this King Mwanga. He was the leader of this group of young pages, and King Mwanga was a drunk, and when he was drunk, he would try to seduce his young pages into sexual acts with him. So Charles, as the leader of the pages and as a Christian, would encourage these young men to avoid the advances of the king, to keep themselves pure. So this enraged the young king, and he decided that this whole group of pages, these Christians, would have to decide either to renounce their faith or to be killed. And they chose death. So all of these Christian pages, and they were between the ages of 13 and 25, all young men. 13 were Catholics, 11 were Protestants, 8 who were not yet baptized. On June 3rd, 1886, the king made them march for miles to this place of ritual sacrifice that was called Mamugango. And there, they singled out Charles as the leader of the group to suffer a particularly slow and painful death. They placed him on a grill and set him over a very low-burning fire that very slowly roasted him. And as he was suffering, he did not cry out, but he could simply be heard whispering words of prayers. And before he died, finally he groaned, "My God." And then those other 20-some young men were gathered together and burnt in a huge fire. But one of the executioners recorded this. Someone who witnessed the execution of those Christians, he said, "We have killed many people, but never such as these. On other occasions, victims did nothing but moan and weep. Among this group, however, there was not a sigh, not even an angry word. All we heard was a soft murmur on their lips. They prayed until they died." Very shortly after their deaths, within a few years, there were thousands of Christians in Uganda. And today, every year on the feast day of those Ugandan martyrs, over 100,000 Africans gather at the site of their martyrdom to pray, to sing, to offer worship to God, to ask for the intercession of these heroes of the faith. So we see the power of witness, how the blood of the martyrs is the seed of Christians. So maybe or maybe not, we will be faced with this choice ourselves, whether to renounce our faith or to suffer. But if we look at our lives, we can find soft forms of persecution, subtle forms of persecution. I think any time that we are tempted not to live our faith honestly, we're suffering this temptation, what may be a mild form of persecution. Whenever we feel like we're around certain people or in a certain context and we feel like we have to be different than we are, we feel like we have to hide our faith in some way. So, I mean, there are many, many, many different contexts in which we can experience this. Maybe it's the workplace, maybe it's within our family. I was thinking about the pressures that we can feel to conform to what other people want. So one simple example is when we leave town and we're gone on a weekend, and what do we do about Sunday Mass? And maybe the people that we're with aren't interested or don't go to Sunday Mass. Are we just content to skip Mass along with them? Or like when, let's say we're visiting our children who no longer practice the faith or who go to the Lutheran church, do we just not do anything because they're not doing anything and we are nervous about asking them or leaving the group in order to attend Mass? Or do we attend the Lutheran church with our children instead of going to Catholic Mass? But we have to think about what's communicated when we do that. If we really believe that when we come to Mass on Sunday, we come to the cross, and that this isn't just a gathering of people who pray together, but it's actually the representation of the cross, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, the self-offering that he makes to the Father. And when we come to Mass, we join in the self-offering that he's making to the Father. And the spiritual fruits that we receive from this sacrifice, I mean, heaven doesn't have enough words to describe the grace that we receive every time we come to Mass, even if we don't receive Holy Communion. Because we're present for Jesus' offering, his worship of the Father, and he invites us into that because we are one body with him and with each other. Not to mention, if we do receive Holy Communion, the enormous spiritual benefit that comes to us from receiving Holy Communion worthily. But what does it communicate when we're gone for a weekend and we don't go? Or we go to the Lutheran church? Obviously, we can experience a lot of pressure, and this is what we're talking about, the subtle persecution that we can experience. Is it painful to say, you know, Mass is the most important thing in my life, so I just need to leave the group and go to Mass, and I'll join you later? Is it painful to say that? Can we feel kind of humiliated in doing that? Absolutely. But that's part of it. Jesus knew that his followers would experience persecution. So that's one simple example. One other thing, maybe a little more simple than this even, is just having the courage to talk about the faith or invite people back to the faith who maybe have fallen away. The other night we had this evangelization training with one of the deacons of our diocese. This is in preparation for our Hope and Healing evening of prayer. That's this Wednesday evening at Holy Family. Deacon told a beautiful story of a conversation that he had with a man when he was a Knights of Columbus insurance agent. So this is just an example of how we can engage someone, and it doesn't have to be that hard. It doesn't have to be as scary as we make it out to be. He was visiting this person as an insurance agent, and he asked this person, what parish do you belong to? And this person said, well, I haven't been to Mass in 30 years. So the conversation could have ended there, but instead the deacon said, why did you stop going? And he said, it's because I was really sick and the priest didn't visit me, and I'm still angry about it. And instead of deacons saying, oh, well, the priest was probably busy, or maybe the priest didn't even know about it, instead, he just listened to him. He didn't try to offer excuses for the priest. He just said, I'm so sorry to hear that. That must have been really hard. Conversation could have ended there, but then the deacon said to him, do you miss it? Do you miss going to church? And the guy said, yes, I really miss it. And the conversation could have stopped there, but then the deacon said, well, what's holding you back from going back? And this man said, well, I wouldn't even know what to do. I've been gone 30 years. And he said, well, maybe a good place to start is just by making a good confession. And I know the priest at your parish, I'll call him and I'll see if he'll come to your home. How would you feel about the priest stopping by and you can visit with him and you can go to confession? And the guy said, I would really like that. And so he arranged it. The priest went to his home. They had a really nice visit. He went to confession. And that man started going back to church. It changed his life because of that one conversation. That is very easy not to have, because we can think, well, I don't have a right to ask a person questions, or it's none of my business. Well, thank God that wasn't this deacon's attitude when he went into that conversation. He wasn't even a deacon at the time when that happened. Changed that man's life because he was willing to just be himself. A believing Christian who cared about this other person. Let's ask the Lord to please come into our fears and to help us hear this message that he has for us today. Be not afraid. In all the different ways that we experience persecution for our faith, may we believe in the Father's love for us, knowing that Jesus goes before us, so that we may give witness to our faith, blessing others and helping the church to grow through our yes.